Golf Talk America is proud to be sponsored by ClubCore, now Invited, the leader in private clubs. Go to clubcore.com for more information. And PXG, nobody builds golf clubs the way we do, period. Plus, the French Lick Resort. Go to frenchlick.com for more information.
Welcome to the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America with Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. Take it away, boys.
All right. Thank you again, everybody, for being with us. This is Golf Talk America. I'm Tim Matthews, and we do appreciate each and every one of you. We've got a great show coming your way. We'll talk about the last stop, if you will, officially, on the PGA Tour. That is the RSM Classic in Sea Island, Georgia. Beautiful place to go. If you've never been there, it's a good place to not only play golf, but just to hang out. And so we'll talk about that coming up in just a little bit. We'll also be joined by our good friend Earl Forsey with PGA Tour Radio, who will be calling the action at the RSM Classic. And I think we'll probably get into, a couple of things about the Commanders in Washington and football and the big game they had against the Eagles and all kinds of other stuff with Earl. So, again, sit back, get comfortable. We appreciate you being with us again. As always, Frank Bassett in the Nashville studio. How you doing, Frank?
And if you're listening to us in the car, make sure it's a Tesla and sit it on drive by yourself. So, ooh, there you go.
Well, yeah. Look at that. Out of the blue?
Okay. I'm out of the blue. You know my brain. It works in weird ways.
Don't know anything about your brain.
Nobody
knows about your brain.
Me neither. I'm doing good, man.
How are your Titans doing, by the way?
Titans are doing pretty good.
You liking them?
We've got a game. Yeah, I am. We've got a game tomorrow night. You know, we're playing you know who and you know where. That would be that Rogers guy in that Wisconsin place.
Yeah. So I know it. I know it from last week. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we'll get to talking a little bit of football, but let's. Earl's got a busy schedule, busy things. Got to talk about Commanders all day today in the Washington radio circles. So let's get to him. Earl Forsey, voice of PGA Tour Radio, joins us from the nation's capital. How you doing, Earl?
I'm doing great, guys. Yeah, you know, maybe yesterday I did certainly on the air in DC. Got to talk actually about football.
Love it.
When dealing with the NFL, and that's kind of unusual around here. So, yeah, it's nice. Yesterday was a triumphant Tuesday is how we kind of phrased everything. Because we always, when they do win, we celebrate victory Monday. So yesterday was a triumphant Tuesday. I guess we're on to a winning Wednesday now.
And then the alliteration going. There's Thirsty Thursday.
Yeah, always is.
Earl, before we get into golf, since we're talking a little bit of football and the success, at least this past week, that the Commanders had, and they're in the hunt. I mean, anything can happen. We're still, a little past midway of the season, so anything can still happen. But what's the Dan Snyder situation there with the Commanders and the Washington football team circles? Are they going to sell? They're looking at selling the team. Is that a good thing? Have the fans totally turned against Snyder? Where does that all stand?
I'm going to ask you to go back to you. What do you think the fans' reaction is?
couldn't be happier. I'm thrilled.
Do you think that the fans are excited about that? They're on track to be sold. And this is another thing. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I'm sitting around. Well, not sitting around, but prepping to do some stuff locally, and I'm kind of getting things together, and I feel pretty good. I got some tape, and and then the bombshell drops like out of nowhere. The story that they're being sold after, years of, people wanting that to happen around here and the owner saying it was not going to happen and, there's no way and, it never, basically. Right. And that was just really a couple of weeks before that with all the stuff going on off the field. And there's some serious stuff going on with them, with allegations and everything else, which are still yet to be determined. So there's always that factor. And then, everything flips and it's like, all of a sudden, they might be sold, or there's a possibility, or they're looking into it. Everybody around the league that knows people in the league are saying, approaching it like it's basically a done deal, that it's going to be happening within months. And by the time they get to the owners' meetings in March, there probably is going to be a new owner. I mean, it's crazy how much that has flipped, but, the price tag's pretty high, so maybe that's.
I was curious. What are they talking about price wise? I had a few bucks to burn.
Okay, we just had the Broncos sold recently,
right?
To a group you know, the Walton family. They've got pretty deep pockets, you know, like all of them, right?
Everybody.
You know, and that was a, you know, that was a $4-point-some billion sale.
God.
The team, you know, the thing is with all the, you know, what do you want to call it? Just all the issues surrounding Washington and the Commanders and that whole franchise, it's still one of the more valuable franchises in the NFL. With all the bad play and the problems and the everybody hates the stadium and they, you know, dislike the owner, everything else, it's still one of the more valuable franchises. So Forbes had valued it has valued the franchise recently at $5.6 billion, okay. Which if you know if you get it for face value, if you pay sticker price, that's going to be the highest you know sale ever in professional sports. It's going to take more than that. Apparently, you know, to get it done, I mean, it's going to go over six. The My number God. That's being bantied about is $7 billion. Now, there's a stadium involved and everything else, but it's an old stadium. It's three decades old, and it's not a very good stadium, and so that's gone. And it's going to be replaced by, I guess, the new owner, and there's going to be a new building because everybody's building new stadiums now, and they have to. Someone that I work with the night after all this happened and everybody scrambling to it, just, you know, tear up the show rundown because it was all, you know, wow, they're the team for sale. What's going on? He talked to someone, and I know people around the NFL that night when the news came out, and he had said the next day that he was hearing that it could be an $8 billion price tag because here's what happens. That's what happened with Denver. You know, it becomes an auction at that point.
Right.
Right? Because then you get billionaires, you know, buying with other billionaires to buy something. And what are they going to do?
Egos get involved.
I'll pay this. Well, I'll pay that. Well, and that's why some of these groups that are being talked about that are possibilities for the Commanders in Washington, some of them were in on the, quote, bidding process for the Denver Broncos. I know one of the groups kind of pulled out of it at the last minute when the price tag got up to 5.6, wherever it ended up, 4.6 billion or whatever that Denver price was. And the word was that they pulled out because they just knew with the Walton family, Walmart involved, that whatever number they put out, they would always beat it. Right.
Right.
So they just didn't want to start driving up prices, you know, knowing that there might. And this is another thing, knowing that there might be another opportunity. Well, you know, maybe those people, and the NFL does a pretty good job of vetting their buyers. They know who they're dealing with. That's another thing that, you know, kind of the scuttlebutt in town is that some of these prospective ownership groups that were interested in the Broncos maybe knew that something else was going to be available down the line. Well, if you don't want this house, there's another one down the block that might be for sale. You know, it's one of those things that maybe this has all been, and that's what I know a lot of the NFL insiders, NFL Network was talking about this a week and a half ago when it happened, that it seems like this whole process kind of just came out of nowhere. But, you know, apparently the NFL has kind of been pushing this for a while, that, you know, kind of encouraging the owner to maybe it's time to get out and sell. And this process doesn't just happen like, okay, we're putting the for sale sign up. You know, you wake up and there's a sign in the yard. That's not the way it happens. This is a long process. So this has probably been explored for months by the team owner, by those around the NFL. And this is not really a process, I don't think, that just happened a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, that this has probably been in the works for a while. And now it's reality and it's going to be a record price. So I'm thinking probably in the $7 billion range, but you know, there's also a thought that, and it could happen that, you know, price gets like that, gets up there. And one of these guys that has an extra billion, you know, that might just get up into a unrealistic number for a lot of people and put it to $8 billion. So, well, and then there's a stadium that they have to build, and that's going to be another $4-5 billion if you want to build one of these showplace stadiums,
like we're about to do in Tennessee,
one in Nashville.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, the Chicago stadium that they're talking about—that's going to be. I think I saw that's a $4.5 billion project.
Jeez,
you know, that's what it's going to take, and you have to have deep pockets to do that. And the other thing in D.C. is there's a political component because of the toxic nature of ownership in D.C. that nobody wants a stadium. No, none of the locales, and you're dealing in D.C., you're talking about Maryland, Virginia, District, you've talked three different locales, different governments that you could deal with. And, you know, for a team that there would have been areas and executives, politicians lining up at one point, doing everything they can to get that stadium in their district. And now nobody wants it, and that's the other thing with the ownership change, if it's whoever it is. You know, you hear the name that keeps coming up is Bezos, you know, he's already in with the NFL with the Thursday football. He has roots, you know, in the area around Washington, D.C.
He owns the newspaper.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he just gave Dolly Parton $100 million.
Well, no, his ex-wife did.
No, it was Jeff and his current.
Oh, you're right, it was Bezos. Yeah, it was Bezos.
It was Bezos and his current squeeze, yeah.
And that's the other thing. Right. The owner here, his money is in the team. There's not a lot of extra money, and it takes more. So his value is related to the team, and if he sells the team, but he doesn't have the money to dig in his pocket and build a new stadium or do this or do that, or free agents or whatever's going on here. And I've been saying that just not knowing anything specific, but you could just read between the lines. You could tell that there is a resource problem with this team and has been for a couple of years where they can't compete with some of these owners. And, you know, one name I brought up, and you're talking about one of the richest men in the world.
Yeah.
And you know, and so that's always the name that comes up with anything. And there's a bunch of other groups. There are four or five groups names. People with pretty deep pockets. So it's probably going to happen. And, you know, everybody says, Schefter said on Monday night on ESPN, his phrase was, it's going to happen sooner rather than later. And it's across the board, everybody saying the same thing. So nobody around here is going to believe it until it actually happens, because it's just such a change, a 180 course direction that it's just still hard for people to believe that that's actually going to happen. But I would say it's pretty likely that it's going to happen in a full sale at some point pretty soon. And look, it's DC. So if that happens, a new owner, a new kind of attitude, just a kind of reset of everything, they're going to get a stadium. Probably it's going to be in downtown DC, down where the old stadium still is, RFK. That's crumbling. It's falling apart. But there's still property there, and that's kind of where everybody is kind of wanted it to return. Right. It's in suburban Maryland. That's not that far away. It's 15 minutes probably from where the old stadium is. D.C. is a tight little area, and everybody says, oh, it's in Maryland. It's not out in suburban Maryland. It's just barely inside the Beltway. But that inside DC thing is attractive, and probably new ownership makes that happen fairly easily. And then when that happens, it's going to be a show place. The NFL, I mean, this is a kind of a core franchise, and had been for until the last few decades when it's become a laughing stock. When they do that, you know, you're talking about an area. I mean, look, conventions and everything that goes on here, inaugurations every 4 years and all this stuff. And it's going to be a Super Bowl site at some point. I hope I live to see that day, but that's what you're talking about for me from an NFL perspective, that it's not just the ownership in DC. It's what kind of doors that opens for the league to, you know, to kind of showplace DC again. They haven't been able to do it in decades.
We're talking again with Earl Forsey, voice of PGA Tour Radio. We've been talking about the Commanders and the NFL and what's going on there. A passion of Earl's and all of ours, to be honest with you. It is the NFL, and they kind of kick everybody's butt. But let's get to a little bit of golf.
Well, wait a minute. One more thing, though. One more thing on that. You know, Earl, you just said that, you know, Schneider didn't have the money just to dig into his pocket and build a new stadium. We have an issue in Nashville with the Titans and have forever with the ownership. And you know where they came from. In the family, we all know who it is, and they had no problem with us, the taxpayers, and Davidson and Sumner and the surrounding counties right here, basically Davidson County, paying for that stadium. We're going to pay for the new stadium. We're going to pay for the new one again. So, you know.
Nobody wants to do it here.
I know.
Nobody wants to. I told you, it's toxic. They've become toxic, and there's not a locale around the DMV, Maryland, Virginia, D.C., that will do it for that guy. Nobody's going to give them any kind of money to build any kind of stadium. And
even with a new owner, Earl?
With the new owner, it might change.
No, as I said, the new owner changes everything.
Oh, yeah. Okay, there you go.
It changes everything.
Sure.
And, you know, inside D.C., it's really inside baseball in town. But when you talk about D.C., there's a lot of federally owned land and local district. So there's all kinds of things you have to deal with, red tape with certain areas and who controls it. And is it the federal government? Is it D.C.? And so all that comes into play. That nobody cares about that outside D.C. But that's what's going to happen. Yeah, you're right. But look, the other thing is the NFL wants a Super Bowl in Nashville, too. Everybody loves going to Nashville.
Everybody.
To cover games. Every local person in the media, that's one of their, if not the favorite place to go when they go there and for a road game against the Titans. So
we call it the Redneck Las Vegas right here.
The draft was a huge success. Vegas is another one. I mean, you see what happens there. The draft, and, you know, they want these kind of showplace areas, and it's drafts, it's Super Bowls, and this is an area that they just can't use like that right now until something changes, and it's probably going to change soon.
Well,
and here's another thing. Here's another
thing. Speaking of change.
In Maryland, you know, I mean, right up the road, we have the Ravens. I'm not a Baltimore fan. I'm a D.C. guy. But that's the other thing. The state of Maryland now has helped out over the years, the Ravens, and with you know, money and that stadium being built, and you know, and efforts to help them revitalize their area near their stadium in Baltimore and everything. And technically, it's a Maryland-based team as far as the stadium goes, with Washington Commanders, because they're in Landover, Maryland. They're still just outside the D.C. line. But at least, you know, we just had an election. There's a new governor coming in, but the current governor had no interest in doing any business with Washington and is more than happy to help in any way he can the Ravens. So, I mean, they compete against them too in that case, because they're technically, their stadium's in Maryland. So have to compete against that. And, you know, people love the Ravens and, you know, that team, that franchise, that organization. So, you know, that's another issue they have had to deal with. You know, even the local, the biggest politicians that are around, the governor of Maryland, had no interest in doing any business with Washington, with the current way it's set up with that ownership. And that will all change. There's going to be a cloud lifted over this whole thing. And every NFL person I've talked to says the same thing. It's going to be a stadium, a dome stadium. It's going to be Super Bowls. It's going to be a showcase. It's that's what it means for this team. Aside from what I deal with mainly is what happened in the game. You know, this weekend, what's happening this weekend? I kind of just stick to football, and that's, you know, and in the end, my interest. When I grew up, I didn't know. I kind of knew who owned the team and who was the GM and all this stuff. But that was, you know, it's a different time. I know, but I never worried about that. Who's the quarterback? Who's the coach? You know, who's playing linebacker? Who's playing wide receiver? That was, I still kind of stick to that. That's in the end what really matters for a sports fan.
Again, we're talking with Earl Forsey, PGA Tour Radio, and we got NFL.
NFL's today.
Got that done, at least for now. We'll come back to it.
It's okay.
Earl, we got the RSM Classic coming up, Sea Island, Georgia, kind of the end of the season, but it's been a long, tumultuous season for golf in general. And I say that because now we have to include Phil and the boys and everything that's going on LIV along with the PGA Tour. In your experience, and you've been doing this a long time, most unique, if you want to put it that way, bizarre kind of golf season that you've remember in a long, long time, this past one? Yeah.
It's different, you know, no doubt about it. And I think for a lot of the players, certainly it's been, you know, really different. It's unique. It has been interesting to watch. You know, I kind of focus on the PGA Tour side of it and keep blinders on, and you know, it's status quo business as usual, you know, for the events I do. It's, you know, you who's there, who's ready to play, who's winning, who's not. And you know, from it relates to what I was just talking about with the other stuff, with the NFL, with football. you know, there's so much information there now, and people on the outside, fans, know so much more about the inner workings of everything now in all sports because of the information that's out there for all this stuff. In the end, look, and we hear from people too that are just golf fans. They just want to watch golf. You know, I mean, in the end, they don't care. You know, kind of the what's going on in the front office or, you know, anywhere else. Who's playing in the tournament this week? Who's winning? You know,
yeah.
Let's hear some golf. Let's watch some golf. And I think for the most part, most people are like that. Most golf fans, you're just interested in the event that's going on and what's happening. And when we get some of the finishes that we've had in the fall, I mean, been some crazy stuff going on.
Oh my God! Yeah.
None of that matters when it comes down the stretch, guys. On Sunday, none of that stuff ends up mattering. It's what's going on the course, who's in the mix, you know, who's got to putt the win, all that stuff is really, again, from my take, I focus on the game, and that's really the bottom line. And that really this fall so far has been terrific. I mean, this goes back to the end of the season, last season, you know, with McIlroy winning the FedEx Cup and the way he won it. You know, he hits the first tee shot out of bounds. I mean, you know, that's the way I start off, you know. I mean, just and he wins and he's 10 shots back and Sunday he's hoisting the FedEx Cup. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, that kind of stuff and the drama and what's going on. That's bottom line in the end, what the fans want and what they love and why they are attracted, you know, into this sport. And that, so, you know, from that late stretch of the FedEx Cup playoffs onto this season, it's been a really good stretch of golf. And you put the President's Cup in there too, which was a lot of fun, you know, a few weeks ago as well. So I, you know, everything's fine on the course, everything's good. And, you know, just watching it, you know, shot by shot, week by week, you know, from my perspective, it's been terrific.
Well, we're seeing some great names out there, some great golf now. People we wouldn't have seen normally with all the big names that were in there. And the quality of the golf, in my opinion, has gotten better. The competition's really gotten stiff, and some of these guys are just, they're burning it up. But last week in Houston on a great old golf course, Memorial Park, which I absolutely love in downtown Houston, the fan favorite ran away with that tournament. And what a great victory for Tony Finau.
Which he's doing now. I mean, this is, and I mentioned it during the broadcast all weekend because it was, you know, it was Tony Finau versus the field. Basically, at
yeah,
that point.
It was. Yeah,
that's become, for a guy who, you know, had all these runner-ups and just couldn't, he got the win 2016 Puerto Rico, and then it was 5+ years before he won again. And every time he'd get in the mix, something would happen, or there was a clutch putt there, you know, it didn't quite go, or something would happen, and he just was kept knocking on the door and he couldn't get back through. And then he's 5 behind in that tournament at the 3M Open. He comes back and wins by 3, and the next week he wins by 5. And now, you know, he had an 8-shot lead at a couple of points this weekend. So all of a sudden he's become a front runner. And he's all weekend, Dennis Paulson was on the call, and we talked about it all weekend. You guys saw it, how comfortable he was in the lead.
Yes.
Just, well, he made some bogeys down the stretch on Sunday at that point. It was just a matter of, you know, how many shots are you going to win by? It really is, you know. It didn't hurt him, obviously, because that's what happens when you have a big lead. But we also sit there every week and watch some of the best players in the game of golf. Something happens on Sunday or something happens at the turn Sunday and leads disappear in the blink of an eye. It's like Thanos snapped his fingers, you know, and it's half the lead's gone. It happens all the time, and now this guy gets in front, and it's almost, you have no chance. So that's interesting that for him now, it's become, at least recently, his M.O. He gets in front. He stays in front. He wins by a bunch. He's won 3 times in the last 3.5 months now.
Yeah.
And he's a 5-time winner. So all of a sudden, he's not only taking the next step, and you saw it last week when he – he's so good tee to green, and he putted lights out.
I mean, he did.
Especially the you know the first couple of days, and then, you know, kind of played a very solid, cool, casual round on Saturday when it was tough to score. There were a lot of problems, a lot of issues for a lot of players on Saturday, which you know, at that point, that just solidified things, and it wasn't easy Sunday either. And he goes out quickly, kind of sets the tone, makes an early birdie, and then, you know, halfway through, he's up by, you know, like I said, 8 shots. And it's basically a done deal. I mean, that's the thing. But if he puts that putting, and I think that's gotten better for him as far as the clutch putt. I mean, it comes down to Sundays are so different. Much different than Friday when you're going out and making 10 birdies and shooting 62 or whatever he did. You know, it's different in crunch time. And he didn't flinch, really. It was pretty impressive. If he puts that together, I mean, that's why he is right now one of the best players in the game of golf with this recent run he was on at the end of last season, now to start this season, and another win for him. He's quickly jumped into the elite top players right now on the PGA Tour.
We're talking with Earl Forsey with PGA Tour Radio, and you mentioned the President's Cup a few weeks ago. Out of that, I think, Earl, a lot of us discovered or maybe got reintroduced to some great, great Asian golfers in particular. Tom Kim's a guy that comes to mind. Is that the future we're looking at now, and we're going to see more and more South Koreans and Japanese and possibly even Chinese from that area of the world coming more and more into the forefront on the either tour, PGA Tour, LIV Tour, but more into the golf forefront?
Yeah. No doubt. And you see it from it's these guys coming up through the college games, too, and making their way to the PGA Tour. And, you know, it's a global game, and this is, you know, always been one of the kind of focuses of the PGA Tour to grow this game and make it a global game, not just, you know, being dominated by U.S. players. And you said it, you're looking at, you know, really a last couple of years, certainly, but it's been that way for a while. There's always been, you know, the Australian players and that kind of thing. But now, yeah, the world has opened up for PGA Tour players. And yeah, you know, that dynamic, it happens in other sports too, where someone has success and then all the youngsters in those areas, those countries, look at that guy and it's like, wow, he can do it. I can do it. I want to do that. Look at him. And then it takes about, and it happened in, and I'll give you an example. It happened in international basketball. You know, go back to the days of the Dream Team. They're beating everybody by 50 points and they're signing autographs for guys during timeouts, you know? And then it takes about 10 years, takes about a decade for the next generation to come up. Right. And then all of a sudden, you know, 10, 12 years later, they're being pushed and they're starting to lose games to some of these international teams because the world starts catching up. And you get in these programs, and a lot of these countries have, you know, national programs. They have paths for these athletes, in this case golfers, to grow the game, to enhance their game, to develop their games, and then they get on the national stage or they get on the PGA Tour, they come to the U.S., play college golf, and they're ready to go. There's no doubt. I mean, the President's Cup, the international team had more South Korean players than they've ever had. Of course that's a huge factor, and we've seen all those guys. You mentioned Tom Kim. You know, he's won on the PGA Tour, and the way he won at the end of last year. A quadruple bogey, his first hole.
Hey, here's a question. Here's a question. So, the man who was just worshipped, Hideki Matsuyama, what's your read? What's going on with Hideki?
I don't know. I think for him, he's always seemed like, and I think he carries the weight of a country on him. And I think he's a unique guy. He's always, you know, and it's good for him because I would probably be the same way. I would be the same way. He separates golf and private life. You never hear anything about it. I mean, when he's away from golf, that's it. And then when he comes back, he's there to play golf. He keeps everything separate. He's a very private person from what I can tell. And I think it's apparent, you know, from fans, you know, you're not seeing a lot of TikTok videos and stuff, and a lot of social media stuff. So I just think he's still a great player.
Oh my God.
When he shows up, you know, he's still a terrific, he's a great player. Still one of the best players when everything is clicking for him. And, you know, we saw what he did last year. A couple weeks ago, we were talking about Russell Henley trying to end the victory drought, and he did.
Yeah.
But one of those near misses for Russell Henley was when, you know, Hideki caught him at the Sony Open in Hawaii last year.
Well, I love storm back. I love.
So I don't know if there's any problems with him. It's just the ebb and flow of the game, guys. Yeah. I mean, and like you said, now, you know, with so many players there ready to win, it's tougher to do.
Well, I think you're right, though. Earl, I think you hit the nail on the head when you said he carries the weight of a country on his shoulders. And I think he really does. But it's so much fun. And for everybody out there listening, if you have an opportunity to stand behind him on the range, we're fortunate enough to be inside that rope and be by him watching him, you know, with his caddy hit balls. It is a sight to see. I mean, the man just he puts on a show on the range.
He's a great player. He's a great player. You watch, you know, you see his reaction sometimes. Hand comes off the club and he drops it, and it's because it's 15 feet away instead of 8.
Yeah.
It's the standard. And, you know, there's a, you know, when you win not just a major, but the one he won, you know, when you do that and you become, he was always a star in golf, a national star in Japan and an international star. You take, that's exponentially ramping up the pressure and the, you know, the everything on you. And, you know, all these players, one guy didn't, but most of them, you know, when they take that next step, we've seen it from a lot of guys, you know, you win the major and you do something, these career goals, you do something, and it's kind of, now what do you do? It's either, what do I do next? Or you put so much pressure on, I've won this one, I got to win another one, I got to win that one. And then in an individual game, it's, you know, it's not an easy thing to do. I think he's fine. I saw him at the President's Cup. And so I think, you know, it's just, he won last year.
He's a great player.
I don't think it's anything like what's happened to Hideki. I just think it's golf. It's the way the sport is. I think he's fine. He doesn't look, when I see him play, when we have him on the coverage, you know, everything's, it looks good to me. I just think there's, for all these players, and he's probably one of them, that these elite players, you're dealing, you deal with a different pressure. Every little ramp, every rung you climb, then it narrows your window.
Yeah, of, it does.
Of success and failure, and it you know, sometimes it looks like it's worse than it is. I don't think there's any problem with it.
Yeah, Spieth and Rory McIlroy both have something to prove with one more major, and that the pressure's on them. Although,
you know, Colin Morikawa recently has talked about, I got to kind of step things up. I got to ramp things up.
Yeah.
You know, after, like, for him, it was a disappointing season last year, you know, on the PGA Tour. He set such a high standard so quickly you know, Matsuyama's not the only guy. There's guys dealing with that every week on the PGA, and how many times did we hear from guys, I'm close? And that's the thing in golf. It's just
that was Spieth's comment
general, it's
weekly.
Such a fine line.
Remember, that was his comment weekly. Line. I'm so close. I'm so close.
Yeah, and it's every guy saying that every week. But you know what?
Yeah.
They're right. The thing is, they're right. People get tired of hearing that, but they are right. We just, you know, we started talking about Finau. Look how close he was for, and then something happens. Something clicks. You get on a run, and now he's won 3 times in 3.5 months. I mean, that's what happens, and that's why those guys are right when they say that, because they are close, and it's just a matter of getting a break or getting on a roll, getting on a run, something like that. And you know as well as I do, the other thing is just confidence. It's an individual sport. You don't have teammates to pick you up.
Right.
It's just – and I think – and Dennis brought this up in talking about Finau last week. He just looks so comfortable. There's just a confidence factor now. You know, he's not dealing with that, when's my next win coming? It's, you know, when's my next win coming? It's, you know, it goes from man, I got to get that next one. When's it going to come? And then all of a sudden you start, success breeds more success.
Yeah.
I guess
confident shot making. And that's what he was doing.
Yeah, and no doubt.
Yeah. And you know, one thing, guys, tongue-in-cheek a little bit, but I don't think McIlroy, and we're not going to get into what he's saying and what's going on with all this other stuff, but I don't think McIlroy is going to be asked to be the guest picker on College Game Day, okay? But Spieth was this past week, fellas, if y'all didn't notice that.
Down in Texas,
Down in Texas, yeah. And he was like a rock star. I mean, people went crazy for Jordan.
You brought up McIlroy. It wasn't that long ago people were saying, what's wrong with Rory McIlroy?
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Here's the answer. The answer
nothing.
Is nothing. Nothing.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It's the ebbs and flows of every sport, but certainly in golf, since it is, as you said, individual, you see it so much more and more. And who's the latest guy that's gone? Now it's Ricky. Now everybody's on Ricky, right? Okay,
what's wrong with Ricky?
Ricky probably will say, I'm not that far off, right? I know I haven't won in 3 or 4 years, but I've been really close, and I've had a top five, and I've done that. It's just a few shots here and there, and he knows it, and he's won, so he's confident about that. But at the same time, it's a fine line. That's what I love about golf. It's a fine line between a Keegan Bradley, who, what was his gap? 6 years, something like that, between wins? I mean, and those guys are Ryder Cup players. They're President's Cup. They're elite kind of players until they're
major
not.
Champions. Major champions.
Yeah. And then suddenly it's like, you got to fight your way back. And part of the fight is dealing with the media and the idiots like us and everybody else who says to them daily, what's wrong with you? What's going on? And they're like, nothing. I'm fine. It's like your wife. Yeah. Right? I'm fine. Leave me alone.
And nobody will leave them alone. Yeah. You're right on that, and I brought up a couple of times during our coverage in the fall about the Keegan Bradley thing. It's like, look, it happened. You know, that 1 week, and we've come to so many final rounds. He's been in the mix a lot, and you know, it's 71 in the final round. It's a, you know, it's a 67 may win, but you shoot 71. People are like, well, what's the problem? Yeah. Well, you know, he just didn't make a couple of birdies. That's the problem.
A couple of putts here and there. Yeah.
And you know, I'll go back, you know, to the McIlroy thing. It's just, you learn how to handle it. McIlroy, the new McIlroy, you know, opposed to the old, you know, winning by, you know, 100 shots at Congressional McIlroy, which was really good too. But he's in such a different place. I am so impressed with him and you know, a lot of things he's chosen to deal with now as one of the, you know, the faces of the PGA Tour, and good for him.
Yep.
Because he handles all of that so well. And he's found it's a comfort zone again, and he's certainly found that now again. And the game was always there, obviously. And he's now taken another next step for him in a different part of his career. I mean, things change, you know. You could throw the 100-mile-an-hour fastball, you know, when you're coming up early in the majors, but at some point you have to start working the corners a little bit, develop a second, third pitch, and that's, you know, that's kind of what it is, right? And you know, he's done that, and you know, I don't think there could be a better guy to be, you know, the flag bearer right now, the champion, the FedEx Cup champion, the guy that's kind of setting the standard for the PGA Tour, than Rory McIlroy. I mean, I personally don't. You guys know too. His reputation is impeccable.
It is,
as far as people that deal with him, his peers, players,
the media,
who many times, you know, it's not just golf, it's sports media. They don't, you know, they're hard to please, and top to bottom, you always hear good things.
Well, McIlroy's delivery, though, guys,
it's hard to do. It's hard to do at that level, to be that guy and to be so well liked at that level that he is, which is one of the best players, one of the best athletes in professional sports, not just one of the top guys in his sport. Overall, he is, you know, one of those guys. You pick guys from every sport, he'd be one of the guys you pick.
Well, he's speaking to a lot of negativity that's out there, and one of his, I think one of his assets is that he can take a statement that a lot of us, if I made the statement, it would come across as negative. When he makes a statement about what's going on with the competitive tours or where we need to be or who needs to do what, it doesn't come across as negative. It comes across as constructive.
Yeah.
And I think that's the positive spin on things. And that, you know, I don't like the fact that he's immersed himself in that, only because I want to see him just focus on his golf because he's such a great player. But, you know, he's seems to be doing both pretty well.
Yeah, the golf's been pretty good.
pretty good.
But it is certainly a distraction that at some point, I think we all hope it just kind of goes away and everybody just plays their golf.
Let's all be nice.
Before we let you go, I know you're a busy guy, but I got to ask you, after we finish up at the RSM Classic, and there's a bit of a break until the tour rekindles, if you will, in Hawaii. But there will be the Hero World Challenge, and that brings up Mr. Woods. And what he's going to do, he's going to play in that. He's
going to
play
PNC
in the father-son.
Yeah.
So we know that's coming around the corner. What do you foresee with Tiger in those events, just as far as his swing, how he's going to look health-wise, and for next year? Are we going to see a chance that we haven't seen Tiger in months and months and months? Do you think Tiger might play a semi-full schedule this year?
What's full?
Well, you know, Tiger's
never
played
a full schedule.
Yeah.
You think like 10, 12 tournaments?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know anything. As far as Tiger, I don't have any inner circle stuff. I never have. From my observations, when he shows up to play, I think that's a guy you never say never. You know, I mean, I think people have been burned with that before. You know, yeah. I mean, he's one of those guys. It's like, you know, you put the ball in Mahomes' hands and they're down, you know, six with 30 seconds to go.
Yeah.
Chance. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Here's what I would like to see. I'd just like to see him play well. And we still don't know, is he, you know, at this point physically capable of doing that? And playing well on the PGA Tour and playing well to win on the PGA Tour, totally different levels, right? I mean, you're talking about exponentially, levels as far as what you have to do to compete and win. And there's nobody knows better than that. About that than him. I'm going to give you the I don't know, because I don't think anybody really does except for him and maybe some people in his inner circle. It's always great to have Tiger in an event. I'm sorry. It's something special, and, you know, I've not had, you know, any really in my years, you know, 10 plus years, whatever it is, 12, 14, you know, a lot of interaction other than, you know, seeing them and walking by and saying hi or just casual, you know. But it's always like when you do that and you just see him, if you're at any event, it's something special. It's like, you know, if you just see him walking by, it's like, that's Tiger. it's so different with him compared to other people. And he's still, I think it's, as far as golf goes, still a special dude. And it is in no way bad for the golf or the PGA Tour or anything else if he shows up and he's ready to compete and ready to win again. And I would never count that guy out on anything, because people have so many times, and all of them have been wrong every time. And so what do you learn by that? You don't ever do it, right?
Not with him. And he's got the match coming up too, so that's going to be fun.
And then you see one shot, and here's what happens. You'll see one shot or something he does, and everybody's like, oh, damn, look at that. He's back. You know, it's like one of those
exactly.
things.
Yeah.
And you know who's thinking that, too? He is.
He is.
Yeah. You know, that's the other thing, and that's the most important thing. He is, but the difference is I don't think he ever doubts what he can do, and I think, you know, he knows there's limitations probably physically with him now.
Well,
and even if he weren't, you know, coming back from what he's trying to come back from and the physical limitations, I mean, just, you know, it's just even if everything were perfect, he's a quote older player now. But, you know, we've seen guys thrive at you know, that age. And if there's anybody that can do it, it's him. And I'd love to see, I don't know if you're going to see any, if you call a full schedule, whatever it is, but.
No.
Think he, you know, he'll play. You know what events he'll play? He'll play the big ones, and he'll be there if he can. Yeah. And, you know, moment in time, you know, one round, one weekend, I would never count that guy out, ever.
Boys, I'm looking forward to the Daily Woods competition that's coming up at the father-son. That's going to be fun, because Tiger and Charlie barely lost last year. Tiger and Charlie are probably both a little pissed. They're going to come back and want it pretty bad. So I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be
fun. My God, does his son, I mean, is that?
Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, my God.
And here's the thing. If I were some of the other guys, younger guys, even some guys younger on tour right now, I would see that and I would think to myself, oh my God. Uh-oh. Yeah. You know, really, I would just think, oh, my. You know,
it would only be appropriate if Phil Mickelson had a son that was about the same age coming out. You know,
perfect.
Can you imagine? Oh my God!
So
yeah, I saw a picture of Tiger. It was like a 5:30 a.m. picture of Tiger and Charlie on the practice range down in South Florida.
I'm sure.
In the kind of the mist, the fog, the morning, and they were out there, you know, grinding, working it. So
look, a tree, right there.
If all of us have had, you know, growing up, you, or, you know, as adults, sons, daughters, everything, that you know, you try to get into sports and everything. You can't make that happen,
no,
by the way,
no.
With a kid. The kids have to want to do that. So, if you know, like you said, you saw that video and everything. That means he's got that gene. You know, he's got that
work
in
ethic.
Him that's not, you know, Tiger making it happen or anything. That kid has to want to do that kind of stuff. All these sports growing up, you see these kids, you know, playing all these sports and getting up at 4 a.m. to go to the rink to skate if they're playing hockey or whatever. Those kids individually have to have that, and you can't make that happen. So he's got talent too.
It's yeah.
obvious. Oh, yeah, he's got a pretty good teacher, obviously a pretty good teacher
yep,
as well. And
good.
He's got that kind of it thing, that intangible. And like I said, yep. you know, time flies and it won't be long before, you know, he wants to do it. We're going to be talking about him a lot every week.
Yeah. Hey, who was on the call with you this week? Do
Mark
you know
Wilson,
yet?
Mark Wilson.
Oh, Mark's going to be good.
Yeah, Mark okay. is back this week to wrap
good.
Things up for the holiday break, and I mean good. Thanksgiving. It's a week and a half away.
Well, we love DP. I mean, and I love Mark McCumber also. I mean, all of them are friends. But
yeah.
one thing about DP is, you know this, if you're at a tournament together, like the last time we were at the Players, I think, and we went back to our hotel, sitting at the bar by the pool at night after everybody gets back from the Players Championship, and DP comes in with $30 worth of Mexican food from the restaurant across the street
mm-hmm.
for himself. Doesn't let any of us have any.
Well, you know? It worked up an appetite.
You gotta love DP.
Yeah.
He brings
a pizza place down there too. That's one I usually hit.
Yeah, yeah. There's some great places down there. Anyway, Earl, it's great to talk to you, buddy.
Yeah, good to talk to you guys again. Have a great holiday. Happy
okay.
Thanksgiving. I'm going to probably be eating pizza at Thanksgiving because apparently I told you this. I live in a household now that I have found out in recent years that everybody hates turkey, and apparently this is a thing now where people don't like
that.
Turkey.
Yeah,
I hate turkey at $80 for the damn turkey.
So if I'm gonna do it, I mean, you know, we're not gonna be at the in-laws this year. So if I have it, it's gonna be me doing it myself, and I'm watching football. I'm
I want a Hawaiian pizza on Thanksgiving. A Hawaiian pizza and a cold beer and football.
I'm serious. I've spent Christmas in Hawaii one time.
Oh my god!
For a bowl game. I know we've gone like way over.
It doesn't matter.
That was one of my, and I was a producer then. It was an overnight trip to Honolulu for me.
Ooh.
back in the day, air travel was different. It was a lot easier. But yeah, it was a bowl game, and I had to be back to do another one. And there was Orange Bowl the next week. I was going to do that. And it was the old Jeep Eagle Aloha Bowl. Remember that one that you used to have at Aloha Stadium? And I flew out on Christmas Eve, you know, and you get there and you gain time. And I spent the night, you know, got up Christmas morning walking around Honolulu because I was like, well, when's the next time I'm going to have a chance to do this? It was interesting to, you know, walk around. It was beautiful, 80-some degrees.
Oh, God.
And nobody kind of around because it's Christmas morning. I'm kind of by myself just walking around Honolulu like, wow, this is, you know, it's interesting.
Wish I could
and
say.
And then I'm on, you know. Probably by 6 p.m. the next that night, I'm on a flight coming back, and it was the same crew. And
wow.
I think I was one of like three people on the flight, and the flight attendant looked at me. She goes, "Weren't you on this flight last night?" I said,
yeah.
"Yes, I was."
Wow.
And,
if you're not on the crew, yeah, turns around.
And can I have a free upgrade?
Well,
pick a seat.
You know, it was. It was an easy flight back because they felt bad for me, you know. But I looked at her and I was like, "Yes, it was." Like,
played the sympathy card, huh?
Last night? It's like, yeah, but it's my job, so it's kind of mine too. So it was just one of those weird things. But yeah, happy holidays. I mean, it's coming
you too,
up.
Earl.
I need to get the lights up. My
happy
goodness, I'm so far behind. Yeah, happy New Year, and you know, we'll be back. I mean, it's very short time. You know, six weeks is going to go quick, and we'll be back.
Before you know,
maybe adding someone to the list this week to play in Kapalua. You know, play at the tournament champion.
Could be. Love the
right
RSM.
The and then we get to the new year, guys, and then completely different this year because it's only 70 guys making the FedEx Cup playoffs now.
I know.
So,
I know.
This kind of squeaking in and playing well enough to get anything, that's changed this year. Be a top 70, that's a lot different than, you know, top 125. So, you know,
right.
all these guys winning early. I mean, obviously it's always important, but
That's going to put a little pressure out there.
Kind of ham and egg in your way into the FedEx Cup playoffs is not going to happen anymore. I mean, it's a different level now, so that's going to be interesting. And we hit the new year, and that ramps up quickly as well, you know.
It's going to be fun. Talk to you again soon about it all, Earl, okay?
Okay, guys, take care. Go Commanders.
Thanks, buddy. Go Commanders. Go Titans.
Half a game back for a playoff spot. They're only half. They're the first team out, so you can say, no, they're in the mix. No, they're the first team out, and that team that's ahead of them, they play them. Christmas Eve, San Francisco and Washington. Could be for a playoff spot.
Pizza night, too.
It's always pizza night in my place, believe me.
All right.
Thanks, buddy.
Earl. We appreciate your time. All right, buddy.
See you,
pal. Take care. Yep. Earl Forsey with PGA Tour Radio. Wow. So much to get into. So many things.
Let's take a break.
It's always interesting. Always interesting.
I need a bathroom break.
Let's take a reset here, and we'll come back. We got a few other things we want to talk about. I got a little something about some broadcasting that I want to talk to you about. Frank,
Ruh-roh.
It's out there too. We'll talk about that and some other things when we come back. You're listening to Golf Talk America, and Frank and I will return right after this.
Hey everybody, Frank Bassett for Hole in One and Brickhouse Nutrition. And I got to tell you, I love what Tiger and Phil said. They both have said golf is a mental game. What happens between the tee and the pin depends on what's going on between your ears. Okay? That's why pros and just regular golfers out there are switching from the unhealthy crash and burn energy bars and drinks, the kind that I used to eat and drink all the time, to Hole in One bars. And they're taking strokes off their game. It's working, folks. Hole-in-One bars from Brickhouse Nutrition were formulated by a doctor to boost healthy, stable, 18-hole energy. No jitters, no crash. More importantly, they sharpen your focus and shave strokes off your game. I switched to Hole-in-One bars, and let me tell you, outside of tasting very, very, very good, which some of the other bars tasted like I was eating the cardboard box instead of the bar, these bars taste great. So here's what I want you to do. I want you all to take the Hole-in-One Bars Challenge. Switch from your energy bar or drink to Hole-in-One Bars, and you'll see improvement in your game instantly. I guarantee it. Let's get started, okay? We're going to give you 15% off your first order. Visit holeinonebar.com, promo code GOLF. Go to holeinonebar.com, use the promo code GOLF, and get 15% off of your first order. Folks, truthfully, all of us, Tim and myself and the staff of Golf Talk America have been eating these things, and they are fabulous. Hole-in-One bars from Brickhouse Nutrition. Get them today.
The weather is changing, but you know what hasn't changed for a long time? Your underwear. If you're still rocking worn-out cotton undies, now's the time for a new pair of Tommy John's Apollo men's underwear. In Tommy John's underwear, you're that much more comfortable, so you can do everything better. Name a problem with other underwear, and Tommy John's has solved it. Tommy John's breathable, lightweight fabric has four times the stretch of competing brands. They come with a no-wedgie guarantee, thanks to a non-rolling waistband and legs that never ride up. Plus, they feature a horizontal, quick-draw fly. And Tommy John loungewear is guaranteed to fit perfectly with comfy, non-piling micro-modal fabric, meaning no lint balls or fuzz. That's what that means, no lint balls or fuzz, folks. And a luxuriously soft tri-blend fabric with flexible four-way stretch. Folks, I wear Tommy John's. The entire crew wears Tommy John's, and we all love them. We have one of everything, I believe, in their entire product line. So, guess what else is out there for you? It's backed with Tommy John's best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guarantee. So, here's what I want you to do. Go to TommyJohn.com/golftalk right now for 25% off lounge and sleepwear. That's 25% off lounge and sleepwear at TommyJohn.com/golftalk. That's TommyJohn.com/golftalk. See sites for details.
Forget lessons. Forget changing your swing. PXG Gen 5 golf clubs will unlock your potential and help you play your best golf ever in just one round. Built with PXG's most innovative materials and updated with new head shapes to suit every skill set, PXG Gen 5 clubs deliver cannon-like distance, laser-like accuracy, and angelic forgiveness. Order your Gen 5 clubs today at pxg.com or schedule a fitting at 844-PLAY-PXG. That's 844-PLAY-PXG. Do it today.
Welcome back to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett with you.
Howdy.
And as we were saying before the break there, something that we all probably follow golf, noticed, and curious what you think about this, because you and I are both 50 plus.
Nicely spoken. Maybe, thank you. Leave it alone. Leave it alone. That's enough. Thank you. Thank you. Okay.
That brings us to
age NBC, discrimination.
NBC Golf. Who recently announced that Roger Maltby and Gary Koch will not be back.
That's
and
sin.
Much like when CBS did the same thing, right, with Gary McCord, Peter Costas, it pretty much comes down to a restructuring, if you will, to say, okay, let's get some new blood in here and try to change things up a little bit. How do you feel about that? Are you okay?
No, I'm not okay with it at all.
No?
I'm just not. Both those guys, I mean, they add so much to the broadcast. Sheer knowledge, you know, the former players. No, I mean, you can, I don't know. I don't, you know, throw the baby out with the bathwater. I don't know. I don't like it. I don't like it.
I don't have a problem with it at all. For one, both those guys had very long careers. So they had their chance for 20 plus years. Yeah. I think Maltby is 26 years or something like that of doing it. So, back, both of them go back.
Couldn't
to the
they ease them out though? Ease them out a little bit.
And, I mean, what's the difference? I mean, you know, at some point, I think Maltby handled it well because his quotes were, you know what, you either decide on your own or somebody will decide for you when you want to finish. And they were deciding for me what to do. But he says, I have no ill feelings or anything else. They, I think, understand the game, which is we're both in our 70s.
Yeah,
well, early, but just 70 years old. That's. If you're, again, the network, and let's put yourself in their shoes, Frank, if you're running a company and you're trying to get a good young audience or a younger audience, then at some point you got to appeal to those younger people, and they're not going to necessarily listen to Grandpa.
I think that's being done by a competitive league as we speak.
Doing the talking. Well, I mean, so I think that's part of what happens. I remember for years and years I said, and Pat Summerall lived in this area, and I don't – say I knew him, but I was around him. I talked to him a number of different times. I played in a few golf tournaments with him.
Yeah.
And at some point I thought, you know what? Pat Summerall is kind of
really old,
going long into this. He was pushing 80 and still doing broadcasting and doing NFL. And no matter how sharp and everything else you might be, at some point you might forget some things. You might not be quite as sharp in a live broadcast scenario, whether it's golf or football or anything else.
Yeah.
And again, you're trying to appeal to 25-year-olds and 35-year-olds, and you know, 80-year-old is having a hard time with that. So I think those guys almost have to be pushed out, and it seems a little bit cold. And but most of them aren't Johnny Miller. You know, most of them don't say, "Okay, I'm done. Let me call it quits," and you move on.
Nick Faldo
got to do that, right? Yeah. But does somebody say behind the scenes, Nick? You know, you're thinking next year or two might be your last couple. At least they might give him a couple year to phase out himself, and make it look that way. But at some point, they all have to know that there's another Trevor Immelman or whoever. And what's Trevor? Trevor's probably 50-ish, maybe not even 50.
Nah, not 50.
You know, it's going to be the next guy.
I don't know how old Mark is.
Yeah. I mean, you got to get one out so the next guy comes in. And so I don't really have a problem with it. I mean, I think it's
well,
it's
I just,
inevitable.
I guess it's
I don't know
just,
who's replacing him, but.
I guess it just kind of, you know, I've grown up with them.
Yeah, but you're a different era.
Been around
too,
them, right? You know them. I know them. I'm of a different era. Yeah, so yeah. I'm of that. Yeah, okay.
That age group, right?
Yeah, so, okay. I mean, well, I'm not my 70s at all, but I'm in my 60s. And
So I mean, you're a contemporary.
What are you trying to tell me here, Tim? Is this it for me?
No.
For the show? Is this my last show?
Are we done? Are we
finished? Am I finished?
No, I just it was a headline, and I thought, you know what, that's kind of. It made sense, and I don't know who's – they haven't mentioned yet, have they, who's replacing them?
No, they haven't.
Are they saying that?
No, they haven't.
I'm guessing two other golfers.
I'm thinking maybe you and me. I doubt it.
Yeah.
You know, here's the deal. Let's back up to Earl in the first segment. If they're going to go for $7 to $8 billion for that team, don't you think they could slide a $10 million to us to do a golf show for them?
Who would be they?
They, the owner, the new purchasers of the Washington Commanders.
Yes.
Yeah.
Are going to give us money for doing what?
To do a show.
Jesus.
I'm just throwing it out there, baby.
You do live on this planet, right? I mean,
not most of the time, no.
Yeah. No, I don't think. I don't think.
I live on the land of Glenn Levitt.
We are so far down the list of
I know.
Their concerns.
If
you talk about the Commanders, if Bezos, he'll lock out everybody else, just like the Walton family probably did. If Bezos is the guy who really wants it, are you going to bid against that guy? Because you're right. He's just going to keep going.
Well, they're just
going to
bid it up on him.
Right.
He'll bid it up.
If you want him to spend more money for his storage unit.
It's like these damn charitable tournaments we go to in the auction that they always have.
Yeah.
And people are just bidding it up, watching, just trying to hurt each other.
Yeah. So we'll see how all that plays out.
It's going to be strange.
I'm looking forward to it. By the way, you mentioned earlier about the match, and
yes.
That's coming up on December 10th. So after Tiger and his 20 buddies get together in the Bahamas at what,
his
Albany?
20 buddies. Hey,
New
Albany? They owe official World Golf Ranking points are provided for that tournament.
Isn't that strange?
Hmm.
Or not.
We're not going to go down that rabbit hole right now.
Yeah, because Tiger's connected. So, of course, that being a very unofficial but official kind of event. If you go to the PGA's website, it's on there on their schedule.
Right? I know it is. I know
Tiger's
it is.
Hero World Challenge, although not getting FedEx Cup points.
They haven't revoked my credentials yet on that either. I'm
still
shocked.
Still has it on the schedule. So, I mean,
yeah, it does.
I mean,
yeah.
Let's... If Tiger's involved, let's be honest, it is kind of what it is.
Yeah.
Tiger and Rory also, as you noticed, have announced a partnership. And this is kind of to speak to the competition that's going on. Live Tour and PGA is the reason, one of the reasons that I think that Rory and Tiger are very adamant about backing the PGA Tour. They also have a new venture where they're going to be doing, have you seen this? They're going to be doing like a virtual PGA Tour.
Yes.
League, if you will, where people will be able to play almost like on simulators, like you and I could go down and you play Pebble Beach or whatever on these simulators. They're creating a league to actually do that between the two.
And it's
going to
make a lot of money.
It'll make a lot of money.
Great idea. I mean, you're going to have to go buy the you have to have the big screen TV, but then you probably have to have the I don't know. I don't know what the equipment is. Is it virtual reality? Is it going
to
be?
Yeah, but I think they go to actually on-site areas and do it. Like in Nashville, they'll go to a place, and actually the people will compete at a simulator at a location in Nashville, in Philadelphia,
and
San Diego, wherever these tournaments are going to be. They actually go there and compete virtually, but not at your home.
Do you think Invited
like
is involved in that in some way, form, or fashion?
I think what?
Well, our sponsor, Invited, Club Corps.
Maybe. I don't know.
Because they have, Club Corps are invited, I should say. Invited clubs are our sponsor. Put in at your club, they put in the simulators and the family event and all that. Really
could
cool, really cool stuff.
Yeah, could be. It's just another. But again, I think my thought on that was going back to the Maltby and Coke thing, trying to get younger, right? That's a younger man's way of playing golf. You and I don't necessarily think about doing virtual golf and simulators and all that stuff as much. But younger people who've grown up in gaming, right? Maybe too much, but gaming with a console in your hand, doing all kinds of, that might be just perfect for them. And I'm guessing Tiger and Rory are very smart people with smart people around them. So that's maybe one of the futures of golf. It also speaks to the fact that those two are going to say, here's where we stand on PGA Tour, Live Tour. But those two are in a whole nother stratosphere as far as the regular tour guys go, right? I mean, most guys are Harold Varner.
Not even close.
They kind of struggle to keep their card and stuff. And so, but Rory's last comments, and we'll finish with this, Rory's last comments seem to be softer about the competition, Live Tour, and responding to what Phil says and all this than it has been in the past. Now, he kind of goes hot sometimes and gets really almost angry about it. There's other times when his last comments were more, I think everybody needs to get together in a room and figure this out, meaning the commissioners and whether it's Norman or someone replacing Norman. There's been rumors about that, Monahan and all. And I think that's the way it should be. Let's let calmer voices and nobody screaming at each other. It won't get anywhere. and we'll figure out how the best players, because Rory and Tiger and everybody else and Phil and Dustin Johnson want the best players playing against each other. That's what everybody wants.
Yeah, they do.
They just want the freedom to kind of do it when they want to on their schedule.
I won't name names, but I talked to several of the boys when I was in Miami at the LIV Golf event and a couple of weeks ago, and they all want that. I mean, they all want that.
We do. Fans do. Right?
Yeah, we want to see some head-to-head competition. Now, look, when you get, like, match play, okay, but let's look at what LIV did in Miami with their team championships, okay? They were individuals, but, you know, the team championship. Well, when you look at what Tiger and Rory are doing, those are going to be, you're going to have teams that compete. You have teams at LIV Golf that compete. There's something there. There's something there that can be worked out between the two tours.
I think so.
And the Monahan and Greg, I mean, okay, maybe it's like you and I both know people we would rather not have to negotiate with or deal with or don't like or just don't like their actions.
Yeah.
Maybe we pick a couple of other people to do the negotiating.
Right.
Maybe we bring in a Dean Beam. Well, Dean's a little old now, but. And not offense him, but somebody else, you know, somebody that's been around. Ty Votaug comes to mind.
Well, I mean, there's...
For the tour side, he's retired, but you know what? So what? Bring a couple of level-headed people back, put them in a room, and let them just talk.
Calm voices.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's no different than China and the U.S. talking, and whoever... It's politics. You have to at least say, okay, let's meet and talk and discuss it, and kind of sensitize everybody from all the rhetoric that's going on, and I think they can do that.
Well, there's a lot of bad blood there. There's a lot of bad blood over the years.
Yeah, there is.
And
but you gotta,
I can tell you that talked to Greg Norman while I was down there also, and you know, one of the nicest guys you'd ever want to deal with. Now, that's different. Me dealing with him and maybe Monahan dealing with
him.
So, but he knows where we are with Golf Talk America and PGA Tour Radio and where we've been, where we came from. He very well is aware of that. But you know, LIV Golf's here to stay, folks. It really is. I don't see it going anywhere. I think the new teams are going to be franchises on the LIV side. That's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah.
They're going to really play up the team thing this next year.
I mean, there's a money thing.
There's a money thing. Yeah.
I think the misconception about LIV Tour is we just want to throw endless money at it and never make a dime.
No,
they have. I mean, let's be honest. The people that are throwing the money and have access to know how it is to make a dollar, and that's what they're all about, whether it's oil and gas or whatever it might be. They're not doing the golf just to always lose money. They're doing it to get into the game, and yes, they're losing money now maybe, but as you said, for the teams, and you get sponsors of those teams and the names on those teams, there's a way to get this cash flowing pretty quickly, and I think the PGA Tour could also benefit from that, or whatever this whole combined thing becomes, can I look at it and say, okay, maybe there's a different way that we'll still play the Masters and U.S. Opens, British Open. We'll still have all that. But maybe there's a different way, a new way, Tiger and Rory doing a virtual thing, that we can also play golf and have golf as a commodity, if you will. So that's okay. That's all right. Let's look at it in a different way, right? Turn that cube a little differently and go, oh, well, I didn't look at it from this stand before. Now it makes sense. So anyway, a lot of stuff to keep our show going, right?
Yep, it does. Keeps us having something to talk about, which is kind of fun. Okay, right, go Titans. Beat Green Bay Thursday night. Tomorrow night, got to beat them. Got to beat them.
Yep.
They did a number on you guys the other night.
Well, I don't say they did a number on it. They won. But, it was an overtime game that should not have gotten even to overtime.
It has been a good football. Every time we have Earl on, it's a football show, you know.
And it's the NFL season. Tom Brady struggles. I mean,
struggles.
You know, things. Yeah, I mean, so things are bad until they're not bad, and then they turn around, and you're like, oh, well, I guess. So I will say this: Minnesota Vikings are a lot better than people think they are.
Oh my God!
is 8-1, and a lot of people in a heck of a game against Buffalo, the game of the year against the Bills. But I think there are a lot of people, maybe it's because they're up in the great white north and nobody seems to pay attention much, but it's like they're slowly, quietly have become a very, very good team and certainly a Super Bowl contender that I don't know that a lot of people saw that coming.
No
5, 6 weeks ago.
Doubt. And Fran Tarkenton will,
He's playing great.
Fran didn't do so well in his day with those boys. Went to the Super Bowl few times, but
kind of an ofer.
Didn't quite make it ofer.
No,
yeah.
No.
And Allen, after that game, I heard he was on suicide watch.
Yeah,
that
was a tough one.
That was a tough way to lose that
choice.
Game.
There. But a great game. But a great game.
Yes,
right?
It was. Game's game.
Coming back.
Fun.
I will tell you this, too. I know we're rambling. I will tell you this.
Yes, we are.
No NFL team, I don't think, and I'm not saying almost every, I mean, you can be Jacksonville, Houston, almost every NFL team, if you give them the ball with a minute to a minute 30 left in a game, after you just kick a field goal and take a three-point lead, I think that is plenty of time for almost any team in the league. It's never over.
No, it isn't.
A minute 20 and no timeouts, and you think, oh, we got the game won.
30 seconds. That's what Mahomes did.
And I don't know how those teams, the defenses, continue to play their prevent defense, and all they do is have the team march down and get to the other your 40-yard line in about 9 seconds.
Well, prevent right defense doesn't work anymore. That doesn't work.
Something's got to change because there's never a game is out of reach unless you literally kick. I mean, how is it now, Frank, that when teams are marching with 2-3 minutes left in a game, in a tie game, or you're down by, they're not only trying to score, they're trying to pace themselves, right, so that you score with only
a second
4 seconds left in the game, right? That's the only you can't score with 56 seconds left in a game because you're like, oh, my God, he's got the ball with 56 seconds. He's going to come right back down the field. How do they not know, okay, let's not let him do that?
And now you have kickers who can kick the damn thing 70 yards.
Oh, yeah, I'm telling you.
Come on.
Best part of a game.
Whatever.
Okay.
I don't know.
Play the music.
It's over.
Keep going.
It's over.
I think we got four seed. We keep talking.
We got Forsey. We got Earl.
We just keep going and going and going.
Love Earl Forsey. He's the best.
We love Earl Forsey. Thank you, Earl, for joining us on PGA Tour Radio. Make sure to listen to him on his next podcast, which will be the RSM Classic on PGA Tour Radio. Thanks to all our sponsors. Invited, as Frank said, check them out. Invited.com. Find out a club near you. Used to be Club Corp. Club near you, and you can be a member at one and get the benefits of all the other ones all over the place. So be sure to check them out at Invited. All right, Frank, thank you so much for being with us. For Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. We appreciate it. Remember to join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.